Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
All right, guys, call in. See if that works for you guys.
Oh, I can hear you on the phone now. I hear you now.
I can't hear y'all at all. Okay, call in so I can see if I can get you back in. I know what happened to Zoom.
I muted my Zoom.
Yeah, mute your Zoom. But I can't see y'all. I can't see y'all in the thing.
You want to log out, call off, hang up and call back in?
Yeah, see if that works.
All right.
Why am I getting glass breaks here?
It went back dead.
Okay, hold on. Can you hear me?
I'm hearing both of y'all on the phone.
Yeah,
okay. I hear you, Rob. Okay. I hear you, Dre. Can you hear us, Dre?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Yeah, that's wild.
I'm muting this. I don't even know what's happening. Shut up, Gary. Tell him to call in if they can now. Cause I think I saw him on the number. Let's see here.
Let's see if we can text him.
Yeah, texting him right now.
Yeah, they're down there at that balloon festival in New Mexico.
You remember that, huh, JQ?
That ridiculous shit I don't remember. I can't help it. I don't know why, but I do.
Never gonna remember. Never gonna hear. Never gonna forget that. Oh my gosh. Well, this is why I log in like 2 minutes early to avoid nonsense like this. Okay.
But yeah, but Blog Talk is messing up. It don't matter.
Yeah, it's just frustrating to say the least.
Yeah, that's the Russians.
They know which way we leaning.
Mm-hmm.
You said something down. You said something to black folks for the last part of the election. Is that what you were saying?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
They said
for the vote.
Chatham County and Savannah, DeKalb County, Fulton County. You better believe it. He's in a good Gwinnett now.
Yeah, I was gonna say quietly, Gwinnett is turned blue too. So they still got 15% left to report. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Trump even saw it. He's like, oh man. He thought he was gonna get like. He's like, Florida, I can counter you. Then he saw Georgia. He's like, ish.
Well,
I'm surprised
Georgia ain't been blue
like,
since
oh.
Bill Clinton.
Well, if he's
right,
trying to,
yeah,
he obviously knows he's gonna lose Georgia. He's already talking about having some lawsuits in Georgia.
Everyone that he's lost here today, he's sued already.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Michigan, West Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Now Georgia.
So he's asking Wisconsin for a recount, but he's suing Georgia and Michigan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And the way it's going,
really
it might be going to Pennsylvania too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. But I'm saying Kenosha, Wisconsin was surprised what happened to Kenosha. He thought, you know, we were all good and everything like that because of what happened with Jacob Blake. He's thinking, oh, I got this like locked in, and then I'm sure that surprised the hell out of him. You know, him not winning that.
I don't know how you honestly say stop counting the votes.
Yeah, that's
how do you
yeah,
how do you fix your mouth to say that? Stop counting the votes.
Well, and the thing about it is partially their fault because with the lines being so crazy in 2016, even outside, I think, of Corona, I think people said what you're not going to do is have me stuck out there for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours trying to vote. I'm going to go ahead and mail this bad boy mm-hmm. in and not get caught mm-hmm. with the okey-doke on election day. So I think that's mm-hmm. as much to do with it as the pandemic, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, we sent ourselves.
I voted. I actually went to the poll and voted early, but not. I voted early, but I was in line maybe 10 minutes.
I think it took me an hour, but I went early out for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had absentee votes, man. We knocked. They got the y'all voted. I was like, sweet, checked it. We were good to go. That was like the simplest thing ever. Mm-hmm. Man, we did it in like 2 weeks prior just to make sure we got that.
Yeah.
That vote.
Yeah. It was a few Fridays ago for me.
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 Fridays ago, okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we sitting back looking pretty, and then you know, and then the surprising that everyone in the polls they still had like more than enough rooms or more than a time. So there were some that were pretty crowded. The software issue was a little, you know, but
that's just ridiculous.
We're still figuring out.
You have 4 years to test that thing out. Like, how does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Make no damn sense, man. Just make no damn. The electoral
it's ridiculous.
Either, but that's a whole other conversation. But yeah.
Well, whoever needs to design that software should be fired. They need to find them a new vendor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's up with Chris and Gary? Are they calling back in or what?
I don't know. They didn't reply.
All right.
Well, Curtis right. told you he. Well, Gary told you he had some maybe some technical issues with his reception.
The only good thing is that I saw Luke calling in, so I don't have to deal with him. So
can't handle saying that great. That, I think he found out that wasn't gonna happen.
You know, it was funny too. The dude that called last, I had no idea who that dude was, and like talking about Trump to win. I'm like, man, get the hell out of here, man. So,
but man, like I told you, they get
it.
Yeah, they do
okay,
the data scrape probably off the other calls and realize that. How we were leaning and targeted this.
Okay, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you. We got you, Curtis.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry about that.
Hey, Curtis.
Blog talk. What's
up, Curtis?
A little difficulty there. Let's see here. Are you on the Zoom or no?
No, I'm not on Zoom.
To that? Okay, got you.
No, well, no, I don't even have a laptop or computer. I don't have any of that stuff in. Yeah.
Okay. That's a great thing. Okay.
Right. Gary, you know, Gary's not joining us. He on the road.
Yeah,
in
Gary's
the
on the road, and that's what happened to me. Right before they went off on the road, I bought new computer, new everything. We took it over Gary's house, and they brought me home. I left all that stuff over there. I give them a call the next day. They're on the road, and my stuff is all over at his house.
Gotcha.
Mm.
Okay.
Hey, be careful in Portland. I just hear they got a protest in downtown Portland that's just declared a riot.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen that. Yesterday there was a protest, and it was peaceful. And because people here believe that Trump lost, it's going to be peaceful here in Portland, you know, until the weekend. The Proud Boys will probably come back into town, and then all hell will break loose. But at the moment, everybody's they're talking about Black Lives Matter in Portland. They're not talking about the election no more.
Wow. Interesting. Well, I was going to say, fellas, it's been interesting that we're trying to start this off talking sports, but yet and still it's a pretty heavy situation that's happened with the election, and so we're keeping an eye on that, obviously. So it's an interesting keeping one eye on that and one eye on the sports world, too, you know. So it's just been an interesting yet historic day, if you will, too, man. So hope everyone got out and voted. Anyone else that calls in that's going to, like, talk junk, we're going to immediately cut you off. The trigger has no heart, man. So, again, we may just keep it us, man. This is kind of how it is, too. So if you guys want to talk some sports, dive into little things as well, that's 100% cool because
you know, that's kind of the nature of what's happening in this crazy ass year with COVID and whatnot too, man. So, what can I say, man? So, you know, I know we can talk about some predictions and go ahead.
If we get some of that foolishness and you cut them off, right after you cut them off, I need you to have that Dave Chappelle soundbite ready. You've been cut off.
No more White Carlos. You've been cut off.
Yeah.
I'm going to grab
you got to get that saved and ready.
That is a good call. Okay. But like I said, so really quickly, appreciate you guys joining. We don't really just have to talk about the intro because it's already here, but I guess we're going to start it off with some talk about the Cowboys again, because I just think Rob likes to, you know, literally just egg you guys on. But you got some options for quarterback, Curtis, either Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert. So what's going to happen for this weekend?
Are those real options? Are those? Do we go call them options?
Those are real options.
Hey, this is the only, and I think I said it before on our network and on our podcast. Jerry's in danger of having the Cowboys be unwatchable, and I know that's got to be Jerry's biggest nightmare. They are in the territory of being unwatchable, and they're also on the terror. They may have the second pick in the draft, and if the Jets win two games, they may be the first team in the draft this year.
That's Jets ain't winning those two games.
It looks what I would like to see the Cowboys do myself, and I don't want it to hurt Dak's feelings, and I don't think it would. I would like to see the Cowboys go and get Fitzmagic. Go ahead and get Fitzmagic and build up Fitzmagic and go ahead and give it a go.
I think if you're Miami, you got to keep Fitzmagic. I mean, you know, obviously Tua wasn't that impressive this past weekend when you look at his completion percentage. I mean, he still won the game, but Miami won that game because – you know, their defense has been outstanding. You got to give Brian Flores a lot of credit. He's coaching his butt off down in Miami. It looked like he's got a bright future at the rate they're going. But I think if you're Miami, you got to keep Fitzmagic, man, because you're looking like a serious playoff contender right now in the AFC. And I think you need Tua and you need Fitzmagic if you're going to continue to compete. So I think if you're Miami, I don't think you get rid of Fitzmagic. I mean, right now you're competing for a playoff position. You're solidly in the number two spot in the AFC East, and you go possibly overtake Buffalo. I wouldn't be surprised at that, and I wouldn't be surprised. I think Seattle's going to go to Buffalo and win this weekend. So I think if you're Miami, you better keep Fitzmagic on that roster. And then, you know, going back to the Cowboys, I mean, I don't really know what to say about those quarterback options. And they started off the game the other night with some trickeration, kept them in the game. And not that the Eagles looked that great either, but, you know, they could only get so much out of Ben Nadeau, whatever his name is, in that game. So I don't expect much from Cooper Rush and Garrett Gilbert, but, you know, I can't really say I've seen much out of them either. So very little expectations from either one of those quarterbacks.
Bro, they playing the Steelers, the undefeated Steelers. Good luck, you two, whoever they choose.
And
yeah,
that defense,
go out there and
get it.
Go get that undefeated Steelers team. That's wild. Took some time real quick. Listen, he did not look good, but I didn't really expect him necessarily to look great. I thought he might look a little better coming off a bye. But that man, Jared Goff, oh, my God, that was just – horrific. He gave that game to Miami. Like, oh, you want the ball? Take the ball. Want the ball again? Take the ball. I was watching Jared Goff like, what are you doing, bro? Like, you are making rookie mistakes. Him and Carson Wentz look like two absolute failures from that draft a couple years ago at 1-2. They got that money, and they look bad. They're so inconsistent. If I'm Jerry, you're at this point now where, yes, you could potentially still win that division because it's so bad, but you're probably more than likely going to get waxed, even at home in the first round. Why not look and say, you know what, We say that we like Dak Prescott, but every chance we got, we could have signed him to a long-term deal, and we didn't. Now he's coming off a bad injury. I hope, just for his own sake, that he comes back for that injury. But why not say, hey, let's look up. We can get another quarterback. We can probably get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, one of those guys at two or three, depending on how it shakes out. And you just reset your clock and you say, okay, now I'm already in salary cap hell. I paid Zeke. I paid Amari. I paid Lawrence. You know, I paid these guys already, and that's part of the reason why I did want to give Dak money, but I also feel like he wasn't fully sold on Dak. You know how Jerry is. If he's sold on you, he'll give you the money. He'll back up the truck for you. So him not doing that for Dak leads me to believe that he's still not sold, no matter what he says publicly. Why not give yourself a chance to take all that money, that $30-something million back just about, get you a highly talented quarterback, surround him with those weapons, and spend that money on other parts of the team like, you know, Seattle did with Russell Wilson. You had that rookie quarterback. I told you about that. If you get you a good quarterback on a rookie deal, you can spread that money around and you can get yourself back into contention a lot sooner. Because think about it. Next year, that division still going to suck, right? So you still have a chance next year with that division with a rookie quarterback and with all the talent he has around him. So that would be me. But, yeah, listen, they're not close to Russell territory. Maybe. But are you sold on Kyle Allen? And to me, they look like they've given up on Dwayne Haskins. They benched him. I don't know if you could keep coming back from that. I agree, but you still got to score some points. They ain't the Baltimore Ravens defense where you can go out there and score 14 points and win.
They can score just enough with that defense, possibly, with how weak that division is right now. And I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
This quarterback draft is getting loaded and loaded.
I mean,
my latest top 32.
I
don't know if you saw, I got about 6 or 7 quarterbacks in that top 32 now. So this draft is getting really super quarterback heavy here.
You got quarterbacks. You got quarterbacks. You got you don't really have any edge rushers. Maybe 2 edge rushers in there too. It's a lot of offensive tackles. So you got a pretty good draft for kind of picking your flavor for what you want too, man. So that's a good job on that too.
A lot of quarterbacks on the rise right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
as you know, all I say is artificially rise. Quarterbacks will always artificially rise.
Yeah,
you're right. I know. You had Kyle Trask in there. Definitely, he's coming back in. Back into the first round, if you will. So we'll talk about that too, man. A lot of good things too. I know.
We got Mac Jones
in the bottom of the first round.
I'm just saying. But you had he had a little thing going too. But it's just kind of interesting how he's got.
I know.
Yeah.
But
Trey Lance up to number 7. Zach Wilson, quarterback from BYU. I don't know if you guys have seen him play. He's really impressive. Really accurate with the football. Making really good decisions. I got him all the way up to number 9. And, you know, prior to the season, we're probably more like a third-round pick. So he's been a big-time riser in his draft.
Now, BYU's so good.
Hey,
you're saying
Curtis.
That it could help them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Curtis. I got a quarterback for you, Curtis, by the way, before you do your thought. I'm going to say, if you want to take Matt Ryan off our hands, just give us that first-round pick and just make it happen, man. So whenever you're ready, just give me a quick call, okay?
Well,
you already got one.
I think Matt's a little bit too expensive. I think he's a little bit too expensive.
He ain't that expensive.
He's very expensive.
I do want to talk about one quarterback that just took an A whooping. That boy got his butt kicked. That Jimmy G, I think he might be done also. But Seattle did not give him a chance. That looked like the Legion of Boom they were putting on Jimmy G in that game.
The whole 49ers
might
be like
not,
too, man.
He
could
not hold
like
up.
Like a walking wounded.
That's another team beat up, man. That can reset their quarterback room. And I'll give you a third one, New England. I think Bill Belichick will look himself in the mirror and say, you know what, Bill, we had a good run. You know, for 20 years we was in this thing. We got us multiple Super Bowls. But Cam Newton doesn't look the same, and he's over on the wrong side of 30. You're not going to invest long-term money in him. Stidham is not that guy. Why not just say, you know what, let's do the same thing. Let's just be bad and go get a quarterback of the future. Then I can prove to the world that I can win without Tom Brady, because Tom Brady has won this round. This year, Tom Brady has won that round in the who's better in the Belichick-Brady when they get divorced, Brady's won this year. It's over. You're not going to be able to catch him. It's not going to happen. So why not set yourself up for success and get – your future quarterback.
But, you know, also Tampa Bay has allowed Tom Brady to be LeBron James and bring in whoever player he wants to.
Tom Brady has my general manager.
But we just talked about it. I mean, right now I got 7 quarterbacks in the top 32. And, you know, and that could possibly obviously could change by either a little more or a little less by the time that actual draft gets here. New England's going to have an opportunity to get a quarterback in this draft, no doubt about it. When you look at, you know, right now we're talking 7 quarterbacks possibly in the first round.
But which one do they want? They can tank and get the one they want and not have one have to call that 4th or 5th one. They could slide up and just take their luck this year, you know what I mean?
But they got the draft capital to move around in the draft. Yeah, I don't know if you they've you know, Bill Belichick over the last couple of years have maneuvered to draft and acquired a lot of draft picks. So they have the draft capital too.
That's true.
So,
Curtis, go ahead.
Rob, we're going to talk about this too. No, you're good, and I know we're going to get Curtis in there too. But Rob, too, once we get to the mock draft too, I do want to get your thoughts as far as a quarterback that you think is kind of an exciting quarterback too, because I think that's a problem here for Atlanta. We need somebody that's exciting too. We don't need like the same old type of quarterback. So I know we're going to not have shades of Michael Vick, but just anyone that can come in. I don't know whether that's Justin Fields. I mean, I don't know if we're going to be high enough to draft him, but just kind of like, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the draft too. So I want to get your thoughts on who's like an exciting quarterback, because again, if I see another like Matt Ryan thing, that is not going to be the next way we want to go in the future too. I'm just saying, straight up.
Well, I think it's Justin Fields. I think he's the guy that could rise even possibly above Trevor Lawrence. I mean, right now I still got Trevor Lawrence number one, but I think he's the guy that will probably could bring the most excitement. Trey Lance is a wild card, obviously, with his running ability and arm strength. But, you know, Justin Fields is getting it done with accuracy as well, throwing the football, his pocket presence, the way he moves. You know, he's the guy right now that could possibly move up by the time April comes around, possibly all the way up to number one in his draft when you look at his versatility.
I don't think that's
going
to happen, but I'm with you.
He ain't going to know. If you're looking for excitement, you know, he's probably the guy that's closest, or maybe Trey Lance, but – you know, we'll see. I mean, right now, like I say, I still got Trevor Lawrence number one.
He's the great American, good-looking white dude with all the physical attributes, and he can roll. There's zero chance that Justin Fields passes him, because we still live in America. The one we're watching right now in the election, if you think you're going to let Justin Fields go higher than Trevor Lawrence, you're crazy. I love Justin Fields. But
I think it just depends on the coach. I think it depends on the coach and their style. You know, if you got a guy like Cliff Kingsbury calling the shots, I guarantee he will go to a guy like Fields. I think it's just going to depend.
Yeah, but the thing about it,
I think it depends on what the coach is or who the coach is. Now, if you got a guy like Vic Fangio calling the shots, yeah, he's going to pick a Trevor Lawrence. I mean, come on. He's got no innovation.
But Trevor Lawrence can run. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is really good. But, like, if you go and put something in a lab, the GMs would just drool over height, check, great American-looking white boy kind of, you know, image, check, arm strength,
Ryan
check.
Leaf.
And he can run. Like, and you put him in the lab and you come out and you get Trevor Lawrence in terms of what they look for. He's going to give you that big dude that can throw the ball and move. I love Justin Fields. I think any other year he would be number one. But with Trevor Lawrence there, with just his attributes and the way he looks and the way that they drafted quarterbacks in the past,
I mean, right now I got Lawrence number one, too. But I think when you look at some of these Clemson games this year, and you look, I mean, obviously Ohio State's only played 2 games. But when you look at these games, when you really do a deep dive into the film, which quarterback has made the most mistakes out of the two? It's Trevor Lawrence. He's looked good. I'm not saying he has looked horrible, but which one has made the most mistakes? Not trusting or making bad decisions with the football when it comes to INTs or throwing coverage? It's been Lawrence. I mean, if you really do a deep dive there, you know, like I said, Fields has only played 2 games, but he has been he has looked better in my opinion. Like I said, Lawrence is still number one for all the reasons you just said, JQ. But if you do a deep dive so far, Fields has actually looked better.
Yeah, no, I got you. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm sorry, we keep cutting Curtis off.
Well, I think you got a point there, JQ, because of Big Strong, and he's been getting the hype a lot more than Justin Fields has. But being in the Big Ten, we're talking about Justin Fields. Oh, boy. I'm glad I'm not a booster at Michigan. Boy, am I, I'm glad I'm not a booster at Michigan. I'm so glad. Because, boy, if I was a booster at Michigan, I would be in Harbaugh's office putting the boot right up his ass. He would catch holy hell if I was a booster at Michigan. Oh, my God. That is not what we brought you here to do, boy. That is absolutely not what we brought you here to do.
He was
he would be getting his butt kicked down there.
they losing a lot. They losing all kinds of shit.
1-6 versus Ohio State and Michigan State.
Oh man, that's not how you get it done. Nice.
Oh
no.
Man. Hey, gentlemen, let's get to these games, man. Curtis, stay tuned, bro. That was hilarious, by the way. We still haven't figured out who you're going to be starting this weekend, but let's have some fun here. We got this run through these games really quickly. I definitely want to get to the NBA talk as well, some trade rumors, and what the Warriors are going to do with number 2 pick. So, gentlemen, right out the gate, we got Seahawks and the Bills. What say you on this, Rob? Kick it off, bro.
Yeah, I think I gave away my answer on this one early. I like the Seahawks to go on the road and win this game. I haven't been that impressed with Buffalo here the last couple of weeks. I mean, they won a squeaker over New England. And, I mean, obviously, I think they're still in contention to win that division. But I like Seattle here. Seattle's just been playing lights out. Russell Wilson's just still, in my opinion, leading candidate for MVP so far this year. He's been lights out. I expect him to go across country and win this game on the road. I'm going to go 34-21. Seattle.
Yeah, I agree. And we talked about it with Josh Allen in the beginning being a potential MVP candidate. He's come back to earth because that New England defense, while it's still tough, that New England offense was doing nothing in that game. I watched a lot of that on the red zone, and they allowed New England to hang around, in my opinion, for far too long in that game. And I give Russell a lot of credit. He's bounced back since that Arizona game, and he just took it to the 49ers. I thought that would be a closer game, but he and DK Metcalf just have something special going on, man. I don't know what teams are doing. You got to double that dude. And I know Lockett is still good, but DK Metcalf is a specimen. And they're getting it done with a third-string running back. And DJ Dallas just come in and sliding in for Carlos Hyde and Chris Carson and gets a passing and a receiving touchdown. And DK, we saw what he did. And then Seattle also, I think, is going to get Jamal Adams back in this game as well, which is going to be a really big boost for that Seattle defense. So I'm with you, Rob. I think the Seahawks go ahead on the road and get it done. I think by 2 scores, about 10 to 14 points.
Yeah, and I think Seattle's on a mission. They're on a mission to get Russell Wilson to be MVP this year. And they got an outside chance, but they're in a division that they really better concentrate on. They're in a division that at this moment, it's no telling who's going to win this division. Although trending to be in last place, I think it's San Francisco. I think they're going to end up in last place in this division, which is, you know, they were in the NFC Championship game last year, and they're going to fall to last in this division this year. It could happen. But they're on a mission, and like you mentioned, when I was a child, I remember Terry Metcalf that played for the St. Louis team or Cardinals. I remember he was one of my favorite players when I was a little guy. And now to see somebody that's related to him, that's a monster. Oh, my God. And like I said, that's one of the most athletic feats we ever seen when he chased that guy down after that interception. Was that something to watch? Man, great stuff.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, Buffalo hasn't been playing good. And Seattle might be a wake-up call for them. And if they get beat up by Seattle, they're going to have to redo everything and figure some things out to win that division they're in.
Seattle's definitely on the rise, man. We're going to talk about MVP candidates, and I know Russell Wilson's on that. He is playing on a whole other level, too. As you said, JQ, definitely. Metcalf, we kind of had a feeling he had that physicality whenever he was coming out, out of the combine. He reminded me a lot of Julio, kind of his build and everything like that, too. I'm not saying he's Julio Jones, but I'm just saying that dude is just that physical. Really talented receiver, man. And once you get that confidence, too, the sky is the limit, too. And like you said, you do have to double-team him, but then obviously Lockett is doing a really good job, too. So him and Russell Wilson have had a good connection, too. So that's a very dangerous team. Obviously, they're still trying to figure out their running back. I know they got was it Dallas, whatever. I picked him up from my squad.
Dallas, yeah, he had a good game.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, he had a great game, too. So you plug and go, man. So I was actually happy about that, too. So, again, they're doing just enough defenses hanging in there. So, you know, Seattle is definitely a squad you got to keep your eye out on as well. Let's talk about the next team, guys. Let's talk about, we have the Bears at the Titans. The Bears, you know, obviously lose a tough game to the Saints. And then we can talk about what happened to the Titans as well, too, man. So are the Titans going to be kind of pissed coming into this game, you think, JQ? What's your thoughts about this one?
Yeah, I think they definitely took the Bengals for granted in that game. Yeah. You know, they came off, but they also came off a hard-fought game against Pittsburgh, and they may just not have recuperated well enough. And then, you know, some of those residual effects of the COVID issues they had before, even though they paced at Buffalo, you know, sometimes that takes something out of you. But I really think they overlooked Cincinnati because you had, you got Cincinnati sandwiched between Pittsburgh and Chicago, and, you know, two teams that have good records and a team that doesn't. Cincinnati, of course, but of course, my Bengals pulled it out, of course. You know, I got my Burrow jersey on.
Yeah, great game.
So I was excited about that. But I just cannot trust Nick Foles and that Chicago offense. They put the Chicago defense, which I think is actually pretty good, into too many bad situations with three and outs, bad decisions by Foles, terrible play calling by Nagy. Until I see them put a couple games together where that offense says, okay, they figured it out, I can't go with them. I think they're going to have a regression to the mean where that record is not quite as good as you think it is. And I'm going to go with Tennessee in a rebound game at home.
Now, you
said
something
on
about David Montgomery, too, by the way. Hold on, Rob. I know you were talking about David Montgomery was just enough. So I still think that there's some problems with that, too. So, I mean, they got enough, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like Tennessee in this game to rebound at home. I know they've lost two straight. I know the Bears have lost two straight, too. I think the Bears are now 5-3, and Tennessee is either like 5-2 or 6-2. I think they're 5-2, I believe, in Tennessee. But I like Tennessee to rebound here. I think they're the better football team. And if you're really starting to look at Nick Foles here, other than that comeback against Atlanta, he hasn't looked much better than Mitch Trubisky at all. I mean, I think if you're Chicago, you got to really consider that quarterback position for the rest of this season. And this could be another one of these teams got to revisit the quarterback options here in this draft, too. No doubt about it. So I think Chicago goes on the road, lose their third straight game, and they're definitely probably heading in the wrong direction. And they're just not getting it done offensively. Their defense is going to keep them competitive in most football games. When you look at that front seven, you got a Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, and their back end is really strong, too. So they're going to be in a lot of football games because of their defense, but they just can't score enough points. I like Tennessee by a touchdown in this one, 24-17.
Yeah, and the issue is, what are they doing on offense? Who's up there?
Diddly
is it
poop.
Nick Foles? Is it the coach? Is it they don't got any skilled offensive players? What's the problem there? That is pedestrian, what they do on offense in Chicago. And like you said, their defense keeps them in games, and their defense is really good, but their offense doesn't scare any damn body.
Nope.
It doesn't scare any damn body. And if they do get some yards, it looks like they were the luckiest people in the world to get them yards. It is awful there.
True.
And I can't figure out the problem there. What's the problem there? And you know I like Nick Foles, but he's not showing me anything that's sweeping me off my feet.
There's some offensive line issues there in Chicago, too.
Yeah, they opened zero holes for Montgomery.
Yeah, looks like we got Naj running in as well, too, man. Let's see here. Naj, is that you, bro?
Yeah. What's going on, y'all?
What's up, bro?
Hey, we had some technical difficulties.
Hold on,
so we're still trying to –
I ain't nothing.
we're blaming Trump to try to sabotage our lines in Russia, man. So, but we're gonna make this work, man. So, all good.
Having problems, man.
Hey, now this is the only time I'm gonna say I need Atlanta to rise up. I need y'all to come through in this election.
we got Rob on tape saying rise up, man. So that's all. I'm happy enough for that.
Yeah, don't drop the football, Atlanta.
Oh my God, it's all good.
I don't know.
Too.
Depending on Atlanta, it's probably not a good choice.
Oh man, we're just going through a couple of these last little predictions, if you will, too. And actually, Rob, like you said, Tennessee is 5-2. I can't wait to kind of dissect what's happening for the draft, because again, Rob, you have a ton of quarterbacks. There's probably about 5 or 6 teams that if you're looking at that may need a quarterback, whether you're the Jets or whether you're obviously the Falcons trying to kind of what's happening. The Matt Ryan era is going to be over. A couple things we'll look at from that too, but we'll talk about that. We'll dissect that in a quick second after we get to the next game, which we have the Ravens at the Colts. And obviously, I know we're not a fan of Philip Rivers, Old Man Rivers, as we're starting to call him now, against the young buck, Lamar Jackson. I'm going to let Rob take this first and then go around and thank you, Curtis and Nas. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I might be surprising you all on this one. I'm going to go with the Colts in this matchup. And unfortunately, when you look at early on in this season, Lamar Jackson's accuracy has not been there. And it's really hurt him in some of these football games. And obviously, JQ kind of alluded to this on last week. His weapons in the passing game is not there, too, other than Mark Andrews. I mean, solid running game. They got a 1-2-3 punch at running back. Mark Ingram's a little nicked up right now. But I like the Colts and what they're doing. They're limiting Phillip Rivers as much as possible. They're going in a short passing game and running the football. Their offensive line is one of the best lines in the league. And their defense is one of the most underrated defenses in the league, too. They're one of the better defenses in the league here. I like the Colts to win this game. I think it's going to be a real close football game. I'm going to go field goal win by the Colts at home, 24-21.
I can't believe that you just said that. Because let's rewind back a couple weeks when Indianapolis played Cleveland, and you said, oh, man, Old Man Rivers sitting back there with Miles Garrett coming off the edge. I'm going with the Browns. And then you take the Colts.
And I was right
Ravens.
On the Browns in that one, too.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. Oh, my God. I get what you're saying. But that Ravens defense, look, Pittsburgh is just good, and I hate them. But they're just good. And they're probably one of the few teams that can give the Ravens challenges on offense versus defense with the way they run and throw the ball and the way they can play defense and give Ben a short field and whatnot. But the Ravens are being ready to blitz Phillip Rivers to high heaven on Sunday, and he cannot get out of the way. And I'm just telling you, T.Y. Hilton is a shell of himself. He's off 2 steps, not just 1 step. He's off 2 steps. So, yeah, you can keep dumping it off on 3rd and 8 for 5 yards, but the punt team is going to come out. So I'm going to go with Baltimore this game in that defense. Phillip Rivers ain't going to be able to get out of the way.
And what I want to say, they're pissed. They're not happy, and they got something to prove. Phillip Rivers is going to take a butt whooping. He really is. But they're going to play, and they play that hard-nosed downhill football, and that's their brand, and that's their style in Baltimore. They may make Phillip Rivers doo-doo all over himself. This is not going to be pretty. And I'm picking Baltimore, and I'm picking them by 10 points.
Y'all going to be surprised.
Over the Colts.
We're going to come back next week for that. Go ahead,
not the same Baltimore defense as it was last few years.
Well, look, Baltimore's favored by 2.5. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a real physical game. But Lamar Jackson on that fast track is kind of hard to deal with. When you talk about in that dome, on that turf, I think he'll make enough plays to win. But Baltimore's biggest problem is play calling. It's like a delicate thing they're trying to balance. They don't want to lose their identity as a run-first team, but they also have to give the receivers and everybody else enough opportunity to make plays. But you don't want to lean too far that way and get away from your running identity. But I think they actually get an upgrade when J.K. Dobbins is the lead back as opposed to Mark Ingram, even though salute to Mark Ingram. That kid Dobbins is a beast. So I think Baltimore does. I think they cover. I think they win by 3 or 4, like something real close. But this would be a hell game and a really good game to watch. And, yeah, T.Y. Hilton, I don't know what happened to him, man. He's falling. Man, he just fell off the table.
I mean, he said 2 steps.
I don't know if Phillip can't get it to him or what. But yeah, it's
no, bad. He can't get open. He can't get no separation. Zero. If you watch him run around, he's getting – I don't know what has happened. He's falling off a cliff and hit another cliff on the way down. Like, he's bad.
A Wile E. Coyote wow. fall off the cliff.
Like, I don't know. I wonder if he's healthy. It does not look the same at all.
That's the call. All right, guys. Let's talk about the next game here real quickly. We're going to talk about the – we got the Dolphins. Dolphins, surprisingly, they've won their last 3 games here at the Cardinals here. And, again, the game, the Dolphins defense played really well. And like JQ said, Jared Goff was giving up the ghost, man. Giving up the ball,
you give a football, and you get a football, and you get a football. Yeah, Jared Goff was wild.
That may not be a good ramification, a good show, but, you know.
He was handing out Halloween candy to that Dolphins defense.
He was. Tua played good. You know, he didn't have to do too much. The defense, you know, obviously, did what he had to do. So, you know, a good game. But what say you about this one, Rob? What do you think about this one?
I like Arizona. I'm going to go with Kyler Murray. I think he ends that Miami win streak. I think they take care of the ball. He mixes it up with the run and pass game. And I like Kyler Murray. And I've said this before, Arizona defense is better than what people think, too. They got a really good defense, Buda Baker on that back end, a solid
Mike
front
Buda.
Seven. I like Arizona in this game. I don't think Miami's going to be able to score enough points to match Arizona. I'm going to go Arizona 30 to Miami 17.
Yeah, and I think that's about right where I would say that. I was going back and forth with it. But I think what happens is that Tua just needs some more time, and he's not going to get the gifts of these short fields and defensive return touchdowns and, you know, punt return touchdowns that he got in that game against the Rams. I think the Cardinals are going to make them drive the length of the field multiple times to beat them, and I can't say that I've seen Tua do it to pick them over the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. I'm with you. I think Kyler Murray makes enough plays. He doesn't make bad decisions. I quietly think that Chase Edmonds might be better than King and Drake and give them a little bit more boost in the run game, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Arizona against the Dolphins. I think your score is probably spot on.
I agree.
I guess we got it straight because Arizona's a for real team. Now, I'm going to make this comment, and I thought about it in watching that game, and Miami did play a really good game, but I think they were trying to protect Tua because if they would have let Aaron Donald get a hold of Tua and ruin his whole life, I don't think that would have been really a good thing to happen. So I think they let him – they were protecting him because Aaron Donald could probably ruin his life.
But
I don't think they needed
that
to happen.
They were playing well. They were doing really well. I mean, like, they just ran into, like, you know, Jared Goff was giving up the ghost, like JQ said. So I don't think, I mean, that was the case, too. But they were kind of playing well, too, if you will.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nash.
Yeah, I think it was the old cliche schedule loss. You had the Rams flying, you know, all over the world to get to Miami, playing at a weird time as far as for their clock. And I think that's just what you saw. So they got beat up. But I think it was a scheduling loss. I don't think that makes Miami what we saw that day. So Myles Gaskin is out for this game. So they're going to be running,
yeah.
I guess.
It's a big loss.
Not Breida.
I don't know. Maybe we see Justin Howard again or Breida. So
yeah,
how
Jordan
do you
Howard,
read
yeah.
on that running game? And I think the Arizona defense, as Rob said, I think they're really fast. And I think they're going to come after Tua. I think Arizona is big, like embarrassing fashion. Where people start up the whole, you know, Fitzmagic nonsense again. But, yeah. I think they need to be.
Vance Joseph's done a hell of a job with that defense, former head coach in Denver, defense coordinator in Arizona, New Orleanian, too. He's done a fantastic job coaching that defense.
I didn't know that was coming.
Knocks him there. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the Patriots at the Jets. So the Jets are 0-8. Patriot. Oh, okay, shit. I was just. It was on the.
Why?
It was on the thing.
We come on, man. Come
no,
on,
no,
man.
No.
We had to throw in Curtis's favorite team.
We
got to
see. No.
Well,
we got to see. Okay.
Well, what we're going to be looking at in that game is because the Jets are going to take Trevor Lawrence, and so people are going to be looking at where is that quarterback for the
Sam
Jets?
Sam Darnold's gone.
Who?
It's over.
Where is he going? Who
yeah.
is Sam Darnold?
Right.
And,
well,
and,
what,
and what,
guys,
is,
what can you get for Sam Darnold? Do you actually get value for actually his real talent, or are you going to
well,
get a discount based
yeah.
on
well,
what Adam
might,
Gates has made him look like? So that's
well,
what
he,
but no,
I think he might be in.
Oh, go ahead. No, he,
I think he
I,
might
I
be in San
as
Francisco,
as he's looked under Adam
or
Gates,
he might be
you know
in.
I mean?
He might be in Indianapolis. I think Sam. I think Sam Darnold
too.
Can fit in both of those spots.
Yeah. I agree with Nash, Joe. I don't think Sam Darnold's as bad as he looked with the Jets. I just don't think, you know, Gase is the guy to coach him up, and he doesn't have the personnel. I think he might have to go somewhere and sit behind a vet for a
that's
year
a
or two.
After that.
But I think eventually, I still think Darnold, under the right coaching staff and the right team, could be developed into a solid starter in this league for a long time. Obviously, the Jets are going to have to move on and get another quarterback, and he's going to have to get that somewhere else. But I think he can still be a quarterback in this league. I really do.
Yeah, and that's the biggest indictment of Adam Gates, the fact that you
mm-hmm.
don't know. You know what I'm saying? The fact
yeah.
that we have to say they got this top pick, so they have to move on, even though, you know, Darnold is basically unexplored. But the reason we have to watch this game is Cam Newton pre-COVID – played at a high level for two games. After COVID, he's been terrible every game. Does
yep.
that continue, and are we seeing the end of Cam Newton's career? So, you know, that's something we're going to see.
No, I agree, but I think Bill Belichick can, while he's sitting on the toilet, can come up with a scheme to stop the Jets and what Adam Gates is going to do. That's the only reason why I say that. Like, I totally agree with you on Cam, but and you know what I'm saying? Like, what you said is spot on, but it could be a false positive in the fact that they're playing the Jets and a team that's not playing well. They got dysfunction within themselves with offense versus defense. So does he look good against a dysfunctional Jets team? And you're like, oh, well, Cam has bounced back from COVID. And then they play the following week, right, and he goes back to it. And it was like, well, which one is it? Was it just because the Jets are so bad, or did he just have to take a step forward and another step back? I just think the Jets
yeah,
are just
yeah,
so
but the
bad,
Jets
bro.
Jets are bad, but he's been missing high, missing low, throwing
yeah.
late, like everything. So
yeah.
they might run it 60 times.
If those things are cleaned up.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I definitely like
New England
to win this game
somewhere.
On the road. There's no doubt about it, as JQ
yeah,
said.
True,
this should be an easy win for Belichick and this football team. Do I think Patriots score a lot of points? No, I'm going to give them 23 in this one. I'm going to go 23-10 Patriots on the road.
Yeah.
What the hell does Adam Gase – he must have pictures, man, because this dude is talking about giving somebody a Ferrari running into the ground, man, because there's no way this dude still have a job, man. So 0-8, come on, man. Or
yeah.
whatever, 0-7.
Everybody's not head coaching material. And
yeah.
he's not. Everybody's just not head coaching material. How do you oversee the entire operation? He's not that. He's probably best off of being a quarterback's coach. I don't even know if he's an offensive coordinator. But he's, you know, he's just not,
got them start,
he's just
got
not
them start,
a
though,
head coach in the league. He's had some success.
Hey, I was on the phone with Peyton yesterday. Funny thing, Peyton's over. Like,
yeah.
That's how you get jobs.
He be name dropping. He be name dropping now.
Name dropping.
So,
yeah. 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 I don't
I'm
think he can take
far the other day.
Yeah, I don't think he can take credit for that. And talking about somebody that can't coach. My team, the Cowboys, Jerry, fire that team. You made
it's not
a mistake.
Gonna happen. It's not going to happen.
You
Curtis.
Made a mistake,
I have to tell you, bro.
Jerry.
You better let that
you
go.
You made a mistake.
They're not going to let him go
you
to one season.
Especially
when Dak got hurt.
And, yeah, I was going to say, especially not Dak's hurt.
You paid him for five. You paid him for five, and you have to admit you were wrong. And
yep.
you'd have to
yep.
explore your whole hiring you, process and say,
yes,
I got to hire somebody and leave them the hell alone.
Yes, you do. Yes,
and
you
they're
do.
They're throwing
yes.
out quarterbacks that look as bad as Anderson Cooper out there, man.
Woo!
Since you said that,
can we talk about my man DiNucci, who has been watching Pat Mahomes' highlight film, decides on the sideline he's going to go sidearm, flip it like Pat Mahomes' highlight. Like, bro, you barely in the league. You don't get to do that. Like, you don't get to do that.
Did you see the two of the ball go through him? Like, what the hell was that? That was hilarious. Oh, my God. They looked at him like, who are you?
My man looked like a relief pitcher throwing a quirky changeup. Like, bro, you don't
That's why he's
not
a quarterback. That's why he's a quarterback, basically. That's why the Cowboys are choosing between Cooper Rush and Garrett Garnett, whatever his name is,
Garrett Gilbert.
My man Mike McCarthy said we're going to have a quarterback competition in week 9.
Rush and Garrett Gilbert. My bad. I'll get that correct. That's hilarious. We're gonna beat up first one time here. Hey, let's finish this real strong, Rob. Saints at the Buccaneers, man. Will the Saints get that come back? What's happening, Rob? What say you on this one, man?
It's a tough one. You know, obviously I'm pulling for my Saints, but, you know, I know Tampa squeaked one out the other night, but I'm going to have to pick Tampa on this one. You know, Tampa's at home. You know, they got 20,000 fans. I think it's going to be a really close football game, but I have to give Tampa the edge when you look at the offensive weapons that they have. And quietly, the defense is playing really well. I know the Giants played really competitive with them the other night.
Played them really well.
And,
damn.
Yes.
Yeah, put it off.
I look for Tampa to win this game 30-24 at home. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm picking Tampa to win it.
Yeah, and we talked about Tennessee being, you know, having Pittsburgh and then having Chicago and Cincinnati in the middle and overlooking Cincinnati. I think that was also a case of Tampa overlooking the Giants. Like, you know, well, we can just roll out and put our jerseys on and win this game. And the Giants was like, nah, bro, we playing at home. We can still win this division, which is crazy. But, yeah, and, you know, you guys are supposed to get Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders back this week.
Yeah, that could help the Saints. The Saints, if you look at the wide receivers they've been throwing out there the last 2 weeks, it was like, wow. It could have been Andre Peterson, Jaquan Jenkins, Robert Ford.
You had Traquan. My thing is,
you're getting your top three wide receivers back as well, because quiet as kept is the rookie. Marquez Callaway has been the third. He's been really impressive when he's played this year, so they're getting him back too. So you're getting your top three wide receivers back.
Right, but Michael's coming off an injury, and Nas just hit a good point in terms of what Campbell's look like coming back from COVID. What does Emmanuel Sanders look like coming back from COVID? You got Tampa, I think, just playing at a higher level right now. And I'm really interested to see how much they put Antonio Brown on the field and monitoring his stats of, you know, with putting Scotty Miller back out or Godwin. I know he's got his broken finger. How much did he really catch the ball with that broken finger? But he's just an embarrassment of riches in Tampa. And if they would ever let Fournette sit down, I know that's your boy. But, you know, he got so mad at Ronald Jones for fumbling that ball that he benched it for two quarters, essentially. Fournette just don't look the same. You know, he says, you come sit next to me. But I think Ronald Jones is more effective as a runner than Leonard Fournette is in what I've seen so far from Tampa. I think it's a really highly competitive game. Yeah, I think it's a highly competitive game, but I'm going to go with Tampa at home.
Yeah, I think it's Tampa all the way. And I think one of the problems I think New Orleans is going to have, and by the way, they flanked out Jason Hill too. And that defense is probably going to get on them. They're probably going to get on New Orleans, and they're going to have Drew throwing short, throwing fast, throwing in a hurry. Because here they come. They're coming downhill at this. And Tom Brady wants to win this division. He absolutely wants to win this division. So he's going to be yelling at everybody out there. And because he's going to be yelling at everybody out there, and he's going to take this game so seriously, I'm picking Tampa to beat them probably 32-21.
Yeah, those linebackers of Tampa, Devin White from LSU, and they got some fast linebackers out there. They run sideline to sideline. You're going to have to run the ball right at them to have a chance.
It might be the best defense in the NFL. Like, that defense is really good. And they're essentially winning by game management. Brady's getting all of the headlines and the credit, but that offense is not what's driving this team. They're really balanced. They're playing well. However, I think we see Latavius Murray banging into that line to create some confusion, and we see an Alvin Kamara game. I think we see a big Alvin Kamara game, Saints upset. And I'm not saying this because I think the Saints are a better team. I think Tampa is a slightly better team. But I don't think Tampa is head and shoulders above everybody like people are talking right now. So I think they're much more vulnerable than people think. And adding AB to the locker room, this gets interesting.
I agree with you. Prior to seeing the way Tampa beat Green Bay and Las Vegas, I wasn't sold on the way Tampa was playing. But then after those two impressive wins, I was like, oh, it looks like they're really turning the corner right now. Prior to that, I was not impressed with the way Tampa had been playing. But when they destroyed Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and when they went to Las Vegas and, you know, turned it around against the Raiders, I was like, I hated to say it, but I was like, unfortunately, it looked like they're really, you know, turning the corner for the better. I mean, it took a little step back the other night, but it, like I said, it could be level of competition. And but we'll see. I think it's going to be a good football game, but I'll still give Tampa the slight edge.
And you know what? Real quietly, you know I'm a Marshawn Lattimore fan. I'm going to be in a former Buckeye. To me, he's taking a step back. He came and really played well for New Orleans out the gate, and I watch him a lot when I watch the Saints, and I see him get beat more and more than he got beat in the beginning. I don't know if teams have figured out what he likes and doesn't like out there on the outside, but to me, he's not playing on the same level he was. And, you know, you got Evans and Godwin and A.B. that he's going to have to contend with in this game, so he's got a lot of pressure on him to live up, you know, to that hype that he's got.
Luckily, you don't have to worry about him past 10 yards.
Here's the good thing, though.
Get your hands on you. Yeah.
Lattimore and Mike Evans, those two do not like each other. And,
no, they don't.
And Lattimore shut him down in week one early in the year. I think Evans may have only had one catch. And but you're right, Lattimore has taken a step back. His best two games this year was against Evans in week one and against the Bears this past week. But those games in the middle, you're right, he's really taken a drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So his first game one and this past Sunday was probably his two best games of the year so far.
Mm-hmm. Dude, can you imagine what Mike Evans' contract situation is going to be when they say, well, sir, you're only averaging 7 yards per catch now? Like, but that ain't my fault. You hired that old man. I still want to go down the field. Y'all hired that old man. Like, dude, that is going to be strange, man.
Yeah.
Lattimore and Mike Evans get into a fight every time they play against each other.
Yep.
We're looking for that. Over-under. I was going to say,
that's
that
light-skinned
hate.
There's two light-skinned dudes can't stand each other.
Oh, come on, man. You guys just brought up something. Man, did we see the most irresponsible, immature, dumbest thing in that Chicago game? That little immature punk and what he did out there, that was that. You got to grow up, boy, and you better figure out how to be a professional. And what did he get? Does anybody? I didn't keep
two
up.
Games suspension.
Two games.
Wims got two games, but I blame the New Orleans corner more than I blame Wims, because it's like, look, man, this is a COVID year. There becomes a certain amount of brotherhood the NFL players are going to have amongst each other. Like, you can't be putting your hands inside somebody's face mask, ripping out their mouthpiece, and supposedly spitting on them. Like, bro, like you can't do that during this period. Save that for next year, all the petty antics or whatever. And I understand your boy looks stupid punching a helmet. Like,
I know.
Yeah,
I never understand how you hit somebody with a helmet on. Like, I think you hurt yourself more than you hurt them.
But this is not the year for that kind of that. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't the year for that kind of stuff, man. You know what I mean? Putting
it's Georgia, Florida, baby.
In people's faces and by the mouths and spitting. Like, bro.
Yeah. That was Georgia, Florida. You're right, JQ.
Georgia, yeah, Florida. Right in the rivalry we
had. Save it for next year, man.
No, that just was. I didn't see any maturity, any professionalism in any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Chauncey Vernon Johnson, he's a feisty little dude. I will say that. I can see why our father Michael Thomas probably punched him in for practice.
Right, Michael Thomas is a
feisty little dude.
You always got to remember this. If you get punked in a certain way within the NFL, you're going to have a tough time in the locker room. Like, you kind of have to retaliate.
Yeah.
So it's rough.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
I remember the Bears were trying to get the Saints to jump offside in the game. I don't know how much y'all paid attention, but Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was on the line, and they couldn't get the Saints to jump offside. He yelled out to the Bears, "It ain't going to work." He's just a spicy little dude.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Just really quickly, let's wrap up. I really don't know who I really hate both these squads, man. I hate the Buccaneers, and I hate, you know, Saints. So I'm not really sure, you know. I want it to be a 0-0 tie, as JQ would say, too, man. But, you know, somebody's going
to
win.
I need the Saints to pull off this upset. Y'all know I'm in the process of relocating to Tampa. So, you know.
Yes, you do.
People are already talking about trash.
Oh, yeah, you need it. You need it in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
We got about 15 minutes left here before we wrap this up. I want to talk about some NBA real quick, and I'll let you guys talk whatever you want to talk about, too, because I'm curious about – I want to talk about what's happening with the Warriors and everything like that. But, Rob, really quickly, looks like the Pelicans are looking to trade Jrue Holiday, if you will. I'm going to talk about that. What are your thoughts about that? Are you mad at your boy Gundy already coming in and trading folks? Or, you know, what do you think about this, if you will?
Well, I mean, I have to see what the game plan is. I mean, I personally am a Jrue Holiday fan. I think he's a good dude off the court. He's one of the best two-way players. You know, gets it done on both ends of the floor. He's one of the better defensively one of the best defensive players in the league. I mean, and sorry to bring this up, Curtis, but I mean, he's one of the guys that just locked down Damian Lillard in the playoff 2 years and just frustrated him that whole series. When the Pelicans swept the Blazers. I mean, he's one of the best lockdown defenders in the game, and he gets done on the offensive end. So he can definitely help a ball club. So if this report is true, you know, it is disappointing because I think he's a good piece. But, you know, I have to see what they get for him in return, you know, for it to be a good trade. But on the surface, it's disappointing because not only is he a good dude off the court, but he's one heck of a bat. He's quietly one of the more underrated players in the game.
Yeah, the thing about that with him, though, is that in that tough Western Conference, he is a stud, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think Ingram and Zion are quite yet ready to make the jump necessary to move them into the echelons where you feel like they're going to make noise next year in the Western Conference. And I think he's coming up on a contract year, right? So it is, you know, how far do we pay him now? You know, we got to pay those two dudes. And how much do those three guys together move us up in the ranks of the Western Conference? It's going to be tough. But the only reason why I don't like it for New Orleans is because you're drafting, maybe you're sending for a pick, but who in this draft do you love that if you get a decent pick for Jrue Holiday in there, you're like, am I getting 75 cents on the dollar in terms of the value of star power that I can bring back as opposed to re-signing this dude? So I'm kind of like in the middle of both of it. I can see it from both sides. But I'm with you. He seems like a really solid dude, and he is one of the most underrated players, I think, in the NBA. So I'm interested to see how that shakes out. If I'm New Orleans, I don't even know if I want to pick. You know, I might want a good bet on the, you know, in the middle of his contract and maybe a throw-in piece that I can put in the rotation. I don't know, because I'm not enamored with this draft at all. You tell me you're going to give me this pick that's maybe a top 10 pick. Who's out there going to say, ooh, I'm getting this guy, you know what I mean? So that's a little tough.
Six pick.
To me, it's only worth it. I mean, only two guys in this draft, in my opinion, would be worth it, and that's Anthony Edwards from Georgia, James Wiseman from Memphis. Now, if you somehow get one of those two guys and you build them with the future with Ingram and Zion, then you might have something there. But other than that, you know, I'm not sure who you help. I mean, the Warriors don't need Jrue Holiday at number two. I mean, they got Klay Thompson and Steph Curry already. I mean, would the T-Wolves trade the number one pick for Jrue Holiday? I don't know. And to me,
no.
That's the that's the only two players in this draft that, you know, that you can say, hey, that's a win for you if you trade Jrue Holiday. Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman.
You don't want both the ball?
Well, I think.
Oh, you be living life.
No, we don't need both of them. They're the same dude.
They got their eye on something. And what I think they're doing is, you know, they're going to showcase Zion. Zion, a lot of people think he's the future of the NBA. So whatever they're trying to do, and I think it might be a veteran or somebody that fits what they can imagine that can help Zion.
Chris Paul's coming back for
reach
you.
His full,
Chris Paul.
Yeah, full, reach his full potential. They're trying to fit something in there using Jrue that's going to showcase Zion. And I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, they're thinking about the future. The core is going to be Lonzo, Zion, and my man, Brandon Ingram. Like, that's the core. They want to get somebody closer to their age to kind of grow with them. They love Jalen. Most people in the league love Jalen. Problem is, they owe him $26 million next year and $27 the year after. So are you going to pay that much for veteran leadership? Probably not. So this is more a salary dump than anything else, because if they had their, you know, best-case scenario, I think they would love to keep him. But I just think it's the cost, and that's where they're trying to get off him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just a lot of money to give to a guy who you're not looking at as what your future is, because, you know, you worried about Zion, Lonzo, and Ingram. That's who you want to develop, and you want somebody closer to their age range. And 26, 27 to Jrue, that's a steep price, man. He's worth it.
And
that's a steep price.
Well, who are you going to get?
If you're
who are you
closer,
gonna get from that? You got to get a young guy. Go ahead, JK.
Yeah, so I was saying, but you swallow that bullet, even if they're talking about taking a step back in revenue, you swallow that bullet if you were the sixth seed and you're like, you know what, we can grow together, we can move into the fourth or third seed. Like, they struggled in the bubble and didn't even qualify. So, like, you're right, you're going to pay that money to maybe make the seventh seed, maybe best-case scenario. Is that worth $26 or $27 million over the next 2 years? I don't think it is if you're trying to keep your salary cap clean.
Yeah.
Yep, good call.
Yeah, I like the message, you know, listening to Stan Van Gundy talk. So, I mean, obviously talk is cheap, though. You got to see it in action. So, you know, we'll wait and see. You know, I like the things that he's saying, though.
We got 10 minutes here before we wrap up the show. I'll let you guys pick your last topics, but I'm just going to talk really briefly about the Warriors and should they trade the number 2 pick. And this is interesting because their word on the street is that the Warriors and the Timberwolves are kind of like shopping those picks because there's not – which is surprising for if you're the Timberwolves, because you think the number one pick is definitely Anthony Edwards, who we talked about. If you're the Warriors, you're kind of in an interesting spot because, you know, obviously you're getting Steph Curry back in, Klay Thompson back from injury. You got Andrew Wiggins. You got Draymond. So you're kind of looking for that next person, if you will, too. So you're looking at the roster and you're saying, is this young guy, is he going to be enough to help us right now? Do you need help right now? So he's young. Unless you get that dynamic play, you're kind of figuring out, well, you know, Curry and Clay, they're kind of they're going to be 30, so let's figure out that plus some motivation for that too. So I'm thinking that's why they're looking at trading, because they're looking for that fourth superstar, if you will, that fourth person to come in, because again, they've got enough of their bench right now, so they're like, well, let's figure this out. If we find a good enough deal, we're still paying Wiggins, obviously. That's a lot to pay Wiggins, like we talked about. I think he's making like 90 something million, which is something crazy. So again, do they dump Wiggins' salary and bring somebody else in, or do they have enough depth for their bench? So that's kind of why I think that they're looking at trading that pick, because you think they would like Wiseman, but I don't think that's enough for them. He's kind of too young to add any value to the roster right now, too. So that's probably why they're definitely looking at the best option for that number 2 pick, if you will. So that's my
I actually disagree. I think Wiseman can contribute to Golden State right away. He's 7-1, his wingspan, his athletic ability, his scoring ability. He gives them a center to protect Draymond, too. And I think you're right back in contention. I think I'm not sure, you know, if they can get a fourth superstar, but I think Wiseman is a guy that can be a superstar, maybe not in his rookie year two or three, you know. I think he can be good enough to start as a rookie. And he can help. I think he can really help that ball club. And I'm not a Warriors fan by any stretch of the imagination, But to me, the Warriors get Wiseman, that's scary. That's scary because he has potential. He and Anthony Edwards, to me, are the top two players in this draft. They're the two guys that could be stars in this draft. And the perfect fit for Golden State would be Wiseman because you already got Clay and Steph, so you don't need another shooting guard. But to me, even if Minnesota takes Wiseman, which I don't think because they got Karl Anthony Towns, but, you know, yeah, I think you still take Edwards. That gives you another explosive player, too, even if he's on the board. But I think Wiseman ultimately will be the perfect fit for Golden State.
Well, I was reading.
I think Golden State wants Wiseman. I think they're just doing their due diligence and doing smoke screens and everything else. If he's there, I think they take him. But what if he's not there? So they got to prepare for that scenario.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was worried about.
And if he's not there, I'd take Edwards. I would take Edwards, even though you got Clay, even though you got Steph and you got Wiggins. You got another explosive player with positionless basketball in the NBA right now. You take a guy that can get to the rack anytime he wants to, and that's what Edwards can do. And even though you got Clay, I mean, you just built yourself a team with a bunch of scores. And the Golden State wouldn't mind playing Draymond at the center sometime, too.
If he's there.
But I don't see Minnesota. I don't see Minnesota surpassing Anthony Edwards, though.
Hold on, how come we can't hear JQ? Hold on, JQ.
Yeah, my bad, JQ.
Hold on.
Nah. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. So, yeah, because it dropped me. I'm glad it let me back in. Blog Talk is wilding.
One thing
I read also is that Wiseman's already told Minnesota he wants no parts to go in there, number one, because of, like you said, Carl Anthony Towns being there in his position. Two, Edwards, you also have to, if he's there, you also have to take consideration that Clay is coming off a very serious injury. If he's going to still be the Clay that we remember, and he was already losing a tad bit of that two-way piece because his defense was starting to slip a little bit. So now he's got injured. How much that is he still as valuable as a two-way player? He could still probably shoot the lights out. Don't get me wrong. But can he be that defensive, you know, not a full-blown stopper, but he gave people havoc on the defensive end of the ball. And the third point is they could be a souped-up version of that Dwight Howard-Orlando Magic team. Like, remember when they went to the finals in Orlando and they had Dwight in the middle and they surrounded him with nothing but three-point shooters? And he would rebound the ball and run the floor and be a rim runner, and he would kick the ball out, and they would just shoot threes in your face. Golden State could do that with a way better version of perimeter player that Orlando had at that time. He could really do that, where you could put him down there and not ask him to be this new-age seven-footer that shoots three-pointers. You put him down there and let him do the dirty work, like you said, take some mileage off of Draymond as he's getting older, and he rebounds and he kicks out, he starts to break, or you play inside out to him and you can swing that ball around. I think it gives them a lot of options of actually helping him spread the floor if he can get himself, you know, two low post moves, one go-to and one counter. If he can do that and rebound, Wiseman, I think, is a really good pick for Golden State.
I agree.
Well, I don't like hearing this Golden State talk. Because, you know, the West is something else. And, you know, and I live in Portland, so it's the Portland Trailblazers. And Golden State have just put nails in the coffins of the Portland Trailblazers. It's not good news that these guys are going to probably be healthy next year. And they're going to be gunning to win the West. Over Portland, over both LA teams, over everybody.
Right. So they're healthy enough. They're healthy enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just a scary proposition. When they're on, they're dangerous. So whatever they got planned, you better believe their plans are to be the NBA champions.
Is that a Warriors had Chinese on
year.
Yeah, good luck for those old guys. We'll see. But I think we'll see Golden State work out Anthony Edwards more than Wiseman on some. We don't really want that guy. You know, we're interested in that. But you know what I mean? I think it's going to be poker face all the way through, but that's the guy they want, you know?
Yeah. I should have been more clear.
November 18th.
I should have been more clear. Whenever I was like studying for this topic, I was looking at what the back and forth of whatever they were literally talking about, whether they should trade it or they should keep it. And, yes, I do believe in my heart, like you said, Rob, that they do want Wiseman. That's the guy that they want. It does fit. They've always needed a center since they lost Zsa, since they lost Pachulia, since they lost, you know, McGee. So they've had a problem with center. Andrew Bogut, they've been trying to find that for a minute. So that's the guy that they'd like to have, too. Obviously, Edwards is very talented. So, you know, like you said,
Zsa, Pachulia, did you see him?
Remember that? Remember that back in the day, he was all right. You know, they had him.
Hey,
you know,
he made a great contribution
for,
to that championship team by sliding his foot under Kawhi.
Yes, he did. Dirty ass.
Sure did.
That's hilarious. Before we wrap this up, I'm gonna let you guys go ahead. Damn, we got 90 seconds.
Yeah,
I was gonna
say
they're
a nightmare in this West. Golden State's been a nightmare for this West.
I didn't even have time to play the
music old here. Dudes that played scared. All these finals, those minutes add up. I'm finally getting my revenge. I can't wait to see Golden State fail. I can't wait.
I'm happy they ain't going to fail too much. Nah, sorry on that one. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll do our quick fantasy shout-outs for the week. We didn't get a chance to squeeze them in. League number one, Corey Angeletti from Atlanta, his team, Gentilly Hot Sauces. Had the biggest win of the week, 174.52 over Big Fast and Strong, 94.94. My team in first place, Death Valley at 6-2. League number two, the biggest win of the week, Sean in Atlanta, Black and Gold Patrol, 158.84 over Bears Nation, 77.62. Andre's team,
damn.
Playoffs in first place, 6-2. League number three, Sean in Atlanta again, NOLA for Life's team at the biggest win of the week, 108.80 over Pelican Fly, 24.66. Dre's team, Wakanda Forever Dre in first place, at 7-1. League number four, my team at the biggest win of the week, Flash Ford, 154.84. The Baby Got Backfield, 68.90. My team holding down first place, Flash Ford at 7-1. Those are our fantasy shout-outs of the week as we're getting ready to go into week nine. Green Bay Packers, be careful. It's starting to slip here the last two out of 3 weeks.
I won. You just won by a bigger margin. It took first place from me by like 20 points. It's okay.
Well, I think
it's all good. I'll take 7-1.
I think Green Bay's looking for revenge from last year. I think Green Bay beats them up tomorrow. I think Green Bay tries to exact from that beat up they got last year both times. I think Green Bay's going to go on there and just smash.
Well, 49ers are hurt, man.
They're playing against the practice squad. They better beat them.
Right.
It's not going to be close tomorrow night.
You took my topic. Why are they playing tomorrow night? Are you serious, NFL? If you don't back that game up for at least Sunday, like you got two, you're going to have dudes ain't nobody ever heard of playing tomorrow. That is so bad. You can't just say we're going to do it just because it's on the schedule. Like, the 49ers closed their facility today. Are we serious? They're going to play tomorrow?
Yeah.
Come on,
good.
NFL.
That's not good. Rob, save that shooting guard topic for next week. I want to talk about the top shooting guards, if you can remember that for next week, okay? Because I know we're going to head into the draft, too. I want to get some topics about that. We're going to post that. We didn't get a chance to get into the college football predictions, too. But, you know, I'm hoping that Florida beats Georgia because we hate Georgia. We all hate Georgia.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Clemson, again, just a quick thing. Your boy, I lost the name of the quarterback that was playing for Clemson.
Just
did a really good
DJ.
Job. DJ did really good. It's going to be a tough test against Notre Dame, too. But, you know, obviously Clemson's got a lot of talent, too. So we're going to pull for Clemson in that one, if you will. Michigan,
they're going
to win. JQ's
favorite
squad.
I think Notre Dame wins an upset.
And Trevor Lawrence,
wow.
Don't take no test that they offer you. Heart test, respiratory test, say no to all of it. Trevor Lawrence, don't you fall
right.
for that. They're going to leak
right.
all your stuff
you're
to
right.
the NFL. Don't you take them tests.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
For real.
That's
I just want to talk about that, too. And Rob,
but Notre Dame, man, somebody got to go check Ian Book's records, man. That dude been in college for like 55 years.
He's like Chris Winkie. He's bringing back. Didn't he bring back memories of Chris Winkie? Wasn't Chris Winkie
not
like
Chris
25
Winkie.
Years
wow.
old? Remember how old he was at Florida? Was he like 25 years old?
Like he was balling.
Like
he had like the ball spot in the middle, like John Flamenco.
Yeah, I'm like, who the hell is this dude, man? He's like, I'm gonna play.
But Ian Book seemed like he been a starting quarterback there forever.
Yeah,
like how many years has he been in the league?
And they're going to lose to Clemson without Trevor Lawrence. Notre Dame is so overhyped. I hope they lose. I'm not a Clemson fan, but they kill me. They want Notre Dame to be good so bad. They want Texas to be good so bad. Ain't neither one of them going to be no damn good. Let it go.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan either.
Pac-12 starts this Saturday. Pac-12 starts this Saturday.
That's right. That's right. Shout out to the West Coast over there too for Pac-12. Maybe Oregon get their act together too. I was going to talk some junk about Bo Pelini and the LSU ride because what's happening with that defense, bro? You talk about Orgeron getting a cap for the championship. It's almost getting to like what the hell's happening over there. By the way.
I mean, obviously, you go back to week one against Mississippi State, and Bo Pelini made no adjustments in that game, and Mississippi State hadn't won a game since. And, all he had to do was go to his own defense in that game, and they would probably stop Mississippi State, but he made absolutely zero adjustments. Now, did I go into the season thinking LSU was going to win another national championship? Absolutely not. I knew we weren't going to be in contention this year, especially with all the personnel that we lost. And LSU is an extremely young team this year, but there's no excuse for the way they're playing. I mean, they're not supposed to be this bad. I mean, do we think we might go 7-3, 8-2, or something like that? Yes, but the way they're playing right now, they might be lucky to be .500. And
not see Bo Pelini coach in Nebraska? Why would you hire Bo Pelini? He has been terrible for a long time. We used to be there on the grass, like, keep Bo Pelini. Keep him and Harbaugh right where they are so we can just get this guaranteed W. Bo Pelini is not that guy.
But you know he was a defensive coordinator for LSU when LSU beat Ohio State in the national championship game in 2008.
Yeah, in 1918, we're talking about right now.
But, yeah, he's looking horrible right now. But he was a much better coordinator before, but he did have the personnel, too, back then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if he doesn't turn around, I guarantee you, Ed Orgeron will fire him at the end of the season in a heartbeat. No doubt about it.
He's going to fire himself?
Yeah, he technically will fire himself by his performance.
Go ahead, Nosh.
No, I mean, you can't fire Ed, man. He got the chip. He's untouchable for a couple of years.
Oh, he was untouchable, but not the defensive coordinator.
Right, Bo's gone. But you know, he's got the young chick now, moved on from his wife. Ed Orgeron is celebrating, man. He's doing his they'll be back at it next year.
Yeah.
Come on, baby.
So you're saying he lost for... He lost focus.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
I can't believe you just took it to that. You are an idiot.
Young, do that to you.
Lose focus.
He said, "Get that Birkin bag."
Oh man! All right, let's wrap this up here. What the hell is happening in the election stuff too? Really quickly, man. I'm trying to get you guys in line to figure out what the hell has happened. Okay. Cool. Anyway, we know
they
thought
the
counter for. Oh my God. Let's wrap this thing up. It's been a night for the West Coast here. Any last things you want to say? Any topic? We're gonna kick it off around the room. Rob, JQ, Curtis, and then wrap it up with Naj, if you will.
Nah, man, I got mine in with that. The NFL's tripping. I'm still living off my Bengals. Sweet. They on the bye, so we got to win. Buckeyes got to win. I'm good.
I think we can wrap it up.
I'm enjoying the football season. Even though I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm still enjoying the football season.
You're still enjoying the football season,
there
Curtis?
You go.
And
okay,
I am going to say a slight thing to what Denver did on Sunday. I still don't know if that Drew Lock is the man for Denver, but
come back.
That kind of looked kind of good. What ended up happening, and I feel sorry for Justin Herbert. Lynn better figure out how to win some games. Justin's doing the best he can. Lynn needs to figure out how they can close out some games.
Come on, brother.
Yeah, the Chargers are looking kind of falcony with blowing some of these games, but Herbert is the truth. Shout out to my son. As far as the Falcons, Matt Ryan and Julio need to go on IR because they're about to try to steal some games at the end of the season and ruin our draft position so they can come back
again
next year, and I won't have it. No, no, this is it. It's time to rebuild. Get them the hell up out of here. Put them both on IR. I see this coming already, man. The Jets, they're not playing. They tanking for real. So we can't keep doing this, man. Sit down.
Nah, who do you want to get with our number one draft pick, Naj? Who you want to get with the number one draft pick, Naj? Who you want? Who do you want?
Game hunt. I'm after Lawrence. We can catch
Lawrence?
The Jets somehow. I don't know. I'm after Lawrence.
He's from the Atlanta area.
You know what
I'm
saying?
From Cartersville, actually.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather take Fields. I'd rather take Fields, but I don't know. We'll see, man. I'm kind of like me.
Also from the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I'm going to have to
watch.
But
we had a coach down at UGA who said he wasn't as good as Jake Fromm. So we watched 3 years
of
Jake Fromm.
That was just a dumb decision by UGA right there.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Georgia.
That was a dumb decision.
The way
I
LSU smoked that ass in the SEC championship game, who do you think they would rather have in that game against LSU? Jake Fromm or Justin Fields?
I worry about Georgia because I think they like their quarterback. You know what I'm talking about? They don't want like a DJ Shockley type of quarterback or a Justin Fields type of quarterback. And then he goes to like Ohio State and like balls the hell out, man. So I think there's something with Georgia, man. I'm just going
to
say,
have y'all ever
been
asked?
They have to get their quarterback. I passed it.
I mean, I have.
Yeah. The conversation.
Yeah, if you've been to Athens, you know why they don't like the brothers at quarterback. Go, dog.
We know. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. But, again, we'll dive into that later, too, because, again, I mean, as good as Trevor Lawrence is, I don't know if he's exciting enough for us. That's pretty funny. I see you are laughing over there. Fair. I just don't know if he's, like, exciting enough. You know what I'm saying? You know? I mean, what else? Who else are we going to, like, watch? That's funny.
Wow, that's how they sound, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, somebody got to throw the ball to Ridley for the next 10 years, man. I just want to see it happen.
Oh, my goodness.
I live like 30 minutes from Athens, and I go down there, like, to go to the store or whatnot. But I ain't never been to the campus. But, I mean, I hear them talk, and they sound just like that. That's why
they do. I'm telling you. I've been there. You know, y'all forget I used to live in Atlanta.
Oh, my goodness.
And you would swear that they won 10 national championships with the way they carry.
Yes.
The way they fans are, you right?
Yes, that's the whole thing. I'll be here all night talking about that. I'm getting off the phone. Don't get me started.
I do remember the time they did, and that was that Herschel Walker and those teams. And they had a whole world.
You
got to
tell us, they play radio clips on the radio still from that day. Like, bro, they will not let it die.
Yeah.
That was like 1980.
They can't. That's the only thing they really got.
1980.
Was the Herschel Walker, those Herschel Walker
40 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Tech has a more recent national championship than them. That's still another here and there. So that's some, whatever. 91.
And now Herschel is blind, crippling, crazy, but can kill a man with his bare hands. So,
you see his ads representing Kelly Loeffler? Like, come on, man, what the hell?
Hey, man,
come
nobody want no trouble with Herschel. Like, you do not want no trouble with that dude.
No, you gotta tie your heart in that dude. You gotta come out the bushes and catch him in the knee. That's your best bet.
Yeah, but
are you
BPE is whooping his ass.
Rob, I'm about to pass out. Wrap the show up, Rob.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Wednesday night. It's going to be November 11th. Wednesday after that, we got the NBA draft on November 18th. But next Wednesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, our friends in Hawaii, it's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Good night, people. Stay strong.
Absolutely.
Goodbye, and what are you mad at, people? We had the worst COVID day in American history today. Over 100,000 new cases.
Wow.
Put that back.
Lack of leadership.
Definitely lack of leadership.
Well, we hope that's going to change over the next couple of days here. You know,
we need some unity in our country, man.
We do need unity. Get some rest, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day, man. Sorry for the technical difficulties, man. Hopefully, I'm going to jump on 10 minutes early next week just to prevent it, because the blog's about to be tripping. So, appreciate you guys holding on to us. JQ offering the information just to have a backup, because I don't know what the hell. Like, it was just the worst start ever. So, stay tuned for that, man. We appreciate you guys for putting on a not natural show, but we got a little extra in, as always, man. So, same time, same channel next week. Keep us in your prayers. Pray for blog talk, if you will. Got two weddings this weekend, so let's keep it moving, man. So, all good.
Good night, fellas.
Later, y'all.
Keep safe.
Good night, guys.
Yeah, keep safe.